Welcome to Church Drunk, a spirited conversation about faith, reason, and libations. It is almost Christmas time.
Woohoo!
And we need to keep in mind a couple of rules, as usual, that there's going to be some potty mouth involved in this particular episode.
Likely.
Yeah, we see it coming down the road. Also, we tend to be a little bit heretical.
Just a wee bit.
Which would not appease some of the folks that we're talking about today.
No.
If you're not cool with either of those, then...
You've been warned.
You have been warned, yeah. And we're Catholic. You don't have to be. Welcome to Church Drunk. I am Guess here with my co-host Diz, who is fighting a cold.
Sorry for the sexy phlegm, everyone.
Wow. We went straight to sexy phlegm.
It's a Friends reference. You wouldn't know that.
Diz, what are you drinking?
I am sipping a lovely Irish coffee. I think it's, you know, good for the cold, it's good for the voice, it's right. Good for the saints.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you joining me in that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. We are sipping Irish coffees because you know what? It's Christmas break.
Oh my God. Thank you, Jesus.
It's a hard-earned Christmas break.
I'm going to need, like, a refill after refill.
Yeah.
To fully celebrate that.
Nothing but Irish coffees from here until school starts again.
Yes, we are living academically and liturgically.
Right.
Pretty much forever.
And it's a bit of a strange week because here we are, end of joy week.
I feel like this is the week.
And yet, we will have literally, like, at a lot of churches, there will be about an eight-hour window where you get to celebrate love week.
Yeah. And it's weird because Christmas is on a Monday, so we have, like, the double obligation.
Right.
Right? It's like you have your Sunday, Love Week, Advent obligation, which would be go to a Saturday night vigil or Sunday morning, like, ta-da, Love Week, disappears.
Exactly.
And then you have to go that night again for Christmas
So here's
Eve.
The question that I've been asking ever since this dawned on me, basically, like, last week at Mass. I was like, oh, my God, like, we're going to have a week of joy and then a day,
like 8 hours of
love.
Yeah.
Because love being
although
the final
Jesus
event.
Is coming to bring love forever.
Yes, of course.
Ultimate love.
Joy week does not end at the end of the week, and love week is eternal.
I know, but we like
blah blah blah. We like
things.
We like
I want to like burn that candle down.
Put a package
know?
On it with a bow on top.
Right.
But here's the thing: are you allowed to double dip on Sunday?
Technically, no.
Can you go to Sunday morning Mass?
Yes.
For Advent morning, and then go to Christmas Eve Mass Sunday evening.
Yes, as long as you go to two Masses.
Huh.
You have two obligations. You got to go twice that day, or you can spread it out, which is what I think I'm going to do is a vigil and then a day of Mass. So I probably won't actually go on Sunday.
That makes more sense.
But you have to go. You can
because I started to realize, like, I mean, I had always kind of been taught, like, you're not allowed to double dip. You can't go to two Sunday Masses.
Right.
Right.
Oh, like, that is true. Like,
you're
you can't
not
take communion
to get
twice.
Two crackers in a
right,
day.
Right. 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 Jesus only wants to be consumed by you.
Which I
once
thought was
per day.
Kind of hilarious. The first time that I was like a Eucharistic minister, and it was like, oh, here's a stack of crackers that we didn't actually use at this Mass, and like there was
jump.
at the times where there's no tabernacle, you just like hammer
you
down
that.
All of the Jesus. Mm-hmm. Left over.
You're extra full of it.
And I'm like, I've been avoiding double Jesus my whole life, and now I'm having like quintuple Jesus at the end of this Mass.
Maybe it just counts as like
one big cracker.
Yeah.
It's like the nacho.
One big
it's just
cracker.
One nacho. If they're all stuck together, it's only one nacho.
Just wow. That's our theology of the day, everyone. One nacho Jesus.
So on years Christmas falls on a Monday, your Sunday double dip is just one big nacho.
Yeah.
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 Well, it's
however you choose to do that.
Yeah. End of joy week.
Yeah.
It's been a heck of a week. And we kind of got into a little bit of joy with our last podcast because we were talking about Christmas songs and things that brought us joy.
And also conveniently during joy week, which happened 2 years ago, was a new Star Wars movie.
Yes.
Which I think is appropriately joyful.
Absolutely.
It's a different kind of holy day of obligation, but it's there.
It's there. Yeah. It's there. And we, you know, so we could gear up and talk about love. We could do whatever we want. But instead, we said, you know what? It's Joy Week. Let's do another installment.
Drunk
Lives of the Saints.
Of the Saints.
So, again, for those of you who did not listen to our St. Patrick's Day episode back in season one, this is not drunk history.
Right.
It's Drunk Lives of the Saints.
Right.
So,
and
for copyright purposes, this is something totally different.
Yeah, we're just drinking and talking about history, but of the saints. So we're not as drunk, and you probably shouldn't listen
speak
to the St. Patrick
yourself,
one until you're pretty connected. Yeah, Guess has got the wheels greased, but only enough to properly tell these wonderful stories of
and
our
it, December is a great month for saints.
Chock full of them. Yeah. And good ones, too. So, like popular ones, I should say. They're all good. They're great. We love them.
We've touched throughout this season on the importance of Mary during the season of December. Yeah. So we have our Lady Guadalupe. We've got the Immaculate Conception and all that good stuff.
Yep.
But there's lots of other great saints that have feast days in December. It is a month of feasting in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and a lot of them are like fun kind of Catholic cultural things over the centuries.
Totally.
So yeah. The one we were going to start with, I want to highlight, was Saint Lucy or Santa Lucia.
Tell me all about the life and times of Saint Lucy.
We don't really know a lot about her, actually. We do know some, but there's like conflicting stories because she was actually really popular.
As with many saints.
Right.
The truth and fiction kind of get blurred.
But she's kind of fun in art history, and I like to highlight her for just like the weirdness. Like, you thought Catholicism was weird for eating Jesus. Wait till you hear about Saint Lucy. So, her feast day is December 13, and she was like in the 283-304 range, and she was a young woman. Another one of these Catholic young women with a mind of her own and a tongue to match it.
How dare she?
I know. And it was during, like, you know, the reign of emperors in Rome. She lived in, like, Sicily area, maybe Syracuse. Okay. She's, like, the patron of that. And her mom was sick, and they were wealthy. And so she, like, had engaged her to this guy who was kind of a dick. But it was just to, like, keep her safe, right? Like, to provide for her because mom thought she was going to die.
Right.
So, like, wanted to get everything arranged. So, like, somebody could take care of her kind of thing. And neither one of them was excited about it. And St. Lucy, like, went to a shrine of St. Agatha. And, like, her mother was miraculously cured. So then she was like, well, I'm a virgin, and, like, I'm holy now, and, like, I don't want to be married, or I don't want to – I'm dedicating myself to God. And her fiancé wasn't really thrilled with this and, like, reported her to the Emperor Diocletian, who, like, threatened to send her to a brothel so that she could get, like, brothel raped.
Brothel raped.
I suppose, and, like, lose it, and she was, like, had, like, a retort, was like, hell no, like, if you send me there, I'll become even more holy, like, Jesus will see that, like, you have ruined me, not me ruining me.
Right.
So, put aside, like, all our sexual issues, I guess, with that. And say, like,
we have issues as a church,
like,
sexually?
Like, how virginity is so damn precious, but, like,
don't believe it for a second.
Let's just put all that aside. We're not talking about that today.
Okay.
You know, she had, and they were like, that's it. Like, we're going to burn you on the spot. So now she's, like, entering martyr territory, and Lucy's like, go for it. And they can't light the fire.
Mm.
You know?
Turns out.
And so then they're like, well, how about a sword? And that's pretty effective, turns out. So she does die. But then other traditions say that first they plucked out her eyes.
Yes.
And that they grew back, some say, and
this
some
is
don't.
The famous portrait of St. Lucy,
yeah.
Right?
So now, so that we always remember her, like, bravery is to represent her in art, and you can Google this shit.
Yeah.
There'll be, like, Google images of her holding, like, a plate with her own damn eyeballs.
Eyeballs on a plate.
Being like, here I am with my halo and my eyeballs on a plate.
Yeah.
Because, sure.
Yeah. Saints often hold weird things on a plate.
Yes,
not unlike,
they do.
Just a couple short months ago when we were talking about Saint, I don't even remember now, with her boobs on a plate. Agatha?
Oh,
was it
God.
Saint Agatha that had her boobs
on a plate? That would be interesting because these two are kind of connected.
Yeah.
She was praying to Saint Agatha.
We need Haggard here
to show
us the images of his
What else
whose
can be on a plate?
On a plate?
What can you put on a plate? That's our holiness question for you today. Here, Lord, I offer you my everything.
Hit us up on Twitter. What's on your plate when you are featured in saint iconography?
Oh my gosh, let us know.
Yeah.
So there's actually from our traditional church drunk book, which is Drinking with the Saints.
Yes.
Thanks, Michael P. Foley. He's the author. He has got a great little Santa Lucia martini, and it's just like a regular martini. So it's got, like, all right, if you need to make it, it's 2 ounces of gin and a 1 dash vermouth, and you shake it with ice 40 times. That's always how
40
many?
Times. 40
shake times. 40
times.
A lot of times. Strain it. And this time, though, you want 2 olives.
Yes.
And you want to skewer them horizontally and lay them over the top of your cocktail so you have St. Lucy's little peepers.
Blink, blink, blink,
blink. And that will be the most holy and liturgical drink that you could drink on December 13th.
I love the image that comes with it. Obviously, you guys can't see it, but it really is just like a Muppet's martini glass with, like, the olives sticking up out of the top so that you
just
can
just lay them gently right across top of your glass and be like, thanks, St. Lucy.
Yeah. Thank you, St. Lucy, for giving up your eyeballs for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, they grew back. Oh, so she's the patroness of the blind.
The blind, yes.
And eyes in general.
Right. eyes, and so many other things, as many saints are, especially like the really popular saints.
Right. There are many
There's like a whole list of what she is a patroness of, but eyes and the blind rank probably at the top of the list. And Syracuse, Italy, not right. Syracuse, America.
Apparently that's just like a translation maybe of Sicily.
I don't know.
Like, I don't know.
Kind of strange.
Whatever.
So St. Lucy, what was that feast day again?
It is December 13th.
December 13th.
It's right in the middle.
Yeah. It's a good one. We also have St. John of the Cross, who I almost chose for our Drunk Lives of the Saints this time. One of my favorites. I love the mystics.
Yes.
Although I started to realize that I lean more towards St. Teresa of Avila when it comes to mystics than St. John of the Cross. But that's just me. You know?
Well, that's because she was considered slightly heretical in her day. So you think you just have a little... Yeah. Commiseration there.
Probably. Yeah. we connect on that level. Yeah. But in the end, I decided that really we would be remiss if we did not honor St. Nicholas with our December patronage.
Wait. Are you talking about Santa Claus?
No. Yes.
Are you
okay? What?
Are we allowed to believe in Santa Claus and Jesus?
What?
Are you fucking pagan now?
Jolly old St. Nicholas, lend your ear this way.
I'm being a little tongue in cheek.
So, yeah, so St. Nicholas is kind of where the idea of Santa Claus got started.
Okay.
But at the same time, like, as with many of the early saints, particularly, like the fictional stories have just absolutely steamrolled out of control.
It's like, where did this red suit and like the jolly fat guy come from? Totally. Not as connected to the saint, maybe.
Like, I do not imagine like a skinny Greek man coming to my house every December the 25th or December the 6th for that matter, because that's the actual feast of St. Nicholas, right? Uh-huh. So December 6th, feast of St. Nicholas. If you guys went to Catholic school or if you, you know, grew up in a very Catholic household, you may have celebrated like the feast of St. Nicholas. I remember at my grade school, we would actually, all of the classrooms, you would put your shoes outside the door and the teachers would like go around and they would put candy in your shoe.
Awesome.
Which, now that I think about it, what a gross place to actually pull your candy
out of and
put in your face. Like,
I don't even care.
That's disgusting. Yep. But hey.
Stinky little kid shoes.
And there's nothing in even like the mythology of St. Nicholas that says your candy goes in the shoe.
Yeah. Is that where like the stockings come from? Maybe he was.
I don't know.
Maybe you hide your money in your shoe.
Weird.
I don't know.
Okay. In any event, St. Nicholas was born somewhere around the turn of the century from the 3rd to 4th. So, you know, late 200s, early 300s. So around the same time as St. Lucy.
Yeah, it's a contemporary.
And was born to like, you know, parents that were not like super rich, but relatively well-to-do. The stories say that he was a devout young man, would only eat one meal a day on Wednesdays and Fridays. because apparently that was a thing. Like, you don't eat until, like, you fast on Wednesdays and Fridays, and you don't eat until after dark, which seems like child cruelty. But hey,
he was into it. Showing his devotion.
He was into it. So whatever. Devout young man. Mom and dad died. Oh. That got dark fast.
Guess that fasting didn't help too much.
But uncle was a bishop.
Oh.
And so he gets taken into the care of Uncle Bishop. And
wow, we're right on the edge of other things right there.
You keep your mind out of the gutter, Diz, all right?
I'll just take a sip of my Irish coffee.
Uh-huh. And Uncle Bishop says, well, you know, I've got this orphan that's going to be in my care. I'm going to train him to be a priest.
Oh.
All right. So this is in, some say Turkey is where he was born. Some say Greece is where, he eventually became a bishop. So, you know, kind of in that neck of the woods.
He's not like a Caucasian guy.
No. Like, Asia Minor is what you would call it back in the day.
Put that out there.
And it was under Roman control. So kind of the eastern reaches of the Roman Empire.
Okay.
And so here is young Nicholas becoming a priest. Doing his thing, and at the same time, he has this, like, inheritance from his parents, right? And he was kind of like, well, if I'm going to be a priest, I'm not going to have a family. Like, what am I going to do with this money? And here is where sort of the legend of St. Nicholas begins to take shape.
Okay.
So he becomes a priest and eventually becomes a bishop of the diocese, if you will.
Okay.
Of, I believe it's Myra. Not Myra, because I feel like if it were a type of Greek yogurt, I would have to pronounce it Myra and not Myra.
Oh my gosh, yes, probably. So, I mean, Greek yogurts, they are tricky in their wording.
Oikos, etc.
Faye,
yes.
Which,
so I'm going to go with Myra.
Okay.
Is his home diocese.
St. Nicholas Bishop of Myra.
Bishop of Myra.
All right.
And now it gets a little fuzzy as far as the timeline, because he comes up, he sort of rises to power during the time when Christians are under persecution in the Roman Empire. And he was, at one point, jailed.
Okay.
So he got thrown in jail for being the sort of presiding, you know, authority of the Christians.
Those are good
Christians.
Accolades, right? Yeah. You want to get in jail, you want to get persecuted a little bit.
But then here comes Constantine.
Right.
And Constantine converts, and you end up with...
poof, the Roman Empire is Christian.
Roman Empire is Christian, yeah. And so he is released from jail, all right? So yeah. So he's a bishop. He's kind of undergone his Christian persecution, and now he's out and about. And he still has this lump of money sitting there that's like, what am I going to do with this? I have nothing to do. So he finds, somewhere along the line, comes across a baker, a poor baker.
Okay.
Who has three daughters.
Uh-oh.
And he's like, my daughters are
like
never going to... It totally
yeah,
is,
like,
yes. My daughters are never going to marry. And you'll, this is a theme with St. Nicholas, that things happen in threes. He saves people in threes.
Like the Trinity.
Right. Yes.
Holy,
I don't
holy,
know how.
Holy,
yes.
All right.
So, three daughters. Okay. And the baker's like, how am I ever going to marry off my daughters? I have no dowries, et cetera, et cetera. So, at some point, St. Nicholas recognizes that this is his time to take his pile of money at home and distribute it to the people who need it.
Okay.
So he sneaks out in the middle of the night and throws a bag full of money through the window of the baker.
Like a brick coming through. Yeah. Like, oh, my God.
Right.
Okay.
And the baker discovers it in the morning and realizes, like, oh, now I have a dowry so my daughter can go and marry. Now, let's take a moment to realize the absurdity of
yeah,
this situation.
There's a few points I'd like to call into question.
Like, the fact that you're poor and that your daughters, therefore, cannot marry is absolutely insane. Like...
Well, they probably can't marry very well.
I guess not.
Like, you know, if you didn't have a dowry, then you were going to have to marry for looks. And maybe
right.
they were ugly.
Maybe.
Or you got to marry low and have a hard life. So maybe
yeah.
he was like, you can't marry them well. They're not going to get to be baker's daughters anymore.
I
They're going
like
to be like...
Either way, it's kind of... Like, I feel like when you read the stories and when you look at that time of history, there could be like three smoking hot daughters... It's
yeah.
like, they're beautiful, they're funny, they're intelligent, but they're never going to get married because nobody will
no.
accept them at no dowry.
Does the tradition say that they're smoking hot? Because I feel like that would... I think they were ugly baker's daughters, dude.
That may have just been me.
They were little
piggy
daughters.
Maybe.
All right.
I don't know.
Well, let's pretend. My question is, why does St. Nicholas have, like, his money... Like, in cash, like, in gold on him at all times.
You think he's just going to go to the Bank of Myra?
I don't
and
know
like
if there were banks,
take a,
but, like...
a check out?
Like, it's hard to imagine
make
this bishop...
Make it into a paper airplane and sail it through the window?
I don't know, but, like, why has he got, like, piles of money?
Well...
Like, why wasn't it invested in property? Like, why did St. Nicholas have to go, like, liquidate some funds?
Well, remember, he was adopted by a bishop, right? So, you know...
It's all very shady.
You've got chalices of gold and piles
of
money.
I'm just saying. And then he throws it through the window, like,
so
kind of like a brick, like...
Yes. Basically, like a reverse cat burglar, he goes out in the middle of the night and throws a pile of money through the window of this baker. Who then looks at it and says, this is fantastic. Now, here's the other part of the story that I think is kind of absurd.
Okay.
He doesn't, like, parse it out and try and, like, get all three
right.
daughters married.
Like, a middling good.
He doesn't take it and invest it and say, now I will be able to make enough money. He puts it all on one daughter and marries her off. So this
okay.
is the dowry for my first daughter. I will marry her off.
And then he's, like, back to square one and be like, oh, I can't marry
her. Now
I
got
two
daughters and can't get married. And so, again, St. Nicholas, when it's time for the second daughter to reach Marian age, apparently,
yeah.
He sneaks out and throws another pile
What's
of
like
money
12?
Through the window. So he was smart. He saved some. He didn't blow it all on the first daughter and
okay.
throws it through the window, and the second daughter gets married off. But now the baker gets wise to the fact that he has some sort of benevolent cat burglar out there that is throwing money through his
right.
window. So he says, well, I'm going to stay up and try and figure out who this is that is
yeah.
Helping me out.
Right.
So he stays up in the night and he sees Nicholas come by to throw the third bag of money through the window. And then he spreads the word that the bishop is the one who is giving me this money and spread it and helping me marry off my daughters.
Okay.
And so this kind of this myth of St. Nicholas as coming in the middle of the night to give you
right,
presents
right.
kind of spreads throughout the land, right? So now he is this wonderful bishop. Everybody loves him and he has this reputation.
I mean, it's
generous.
A pretty genius move on his part.
It's
because,
kind of smart.
You know,
yeah.
he's doing it three times in a row, kind of spaced out. He might have known. Somebody might have caught on to him. If we give him the benefit of the doubt, it's really nice. Yeah. He's trying to, like, keep it low-key and just toss you a bag of coins now and then.
He doesn't show up, like, in midday, you know, to, like, drop out. Like,
right, he doesn't make a big deal about it.
A little bit quiet.
Of course, like, throwing it through a fucking window is not, like, the slickest move.
So here's the thing. This is not the weirdest part by far about the life of St. Nicholas.
All right, I'll let First you get to it.
This story of the three bags of money that he throws through the window become part of the legend of St. Nicholas, and a lot of times in icons you will see him, much like St. Lucy with her eyeballs. You'll see St. Nicholas with three sacks, three bags that are supposed to be full of the money that he gave to this baker to marry off his daughters, right? To raise him up from his lowly position of having three awful daughters at home. I don't know.
Yeah,
but, now here's
don't
the
think
thing.
Too hard.
The story of these three daughters and the three bags of money give rise to, like, a spin-off story where in the three bags are not money.
Oh, wait. Is it gold, frankincense, and myrrh?
No.
Oh,
no. That
darn.
Would be far too convenient.
Okay.
In the three bags are actually the severed heads of children.
Oh, God. Yeah. I did not see that coming.
Yeah. Happy Krampus, everybody. So.
Haggard Elf.
St. Nicholas. Now, you would think a saint that carries
around severed
heads of children
might be a
bit dark.
He's like the Dexter of
Mira. He's not actually the one who severed the heads, according to the legend.
But he's...
He went to an innkeeper who had murdered three children.
As you do.
And kept them in a pickle barrel.
No! What? Why is this taking such a horrific turn?
Because if you're an innkeeper that has killed three children, why not keep them in the pickle barrel?
And then, like confesses to the bishop, and the bishop's like, all right.
Just, what do I do with these three kids? Well, pickle barrel looks good. So he carries the three heads of the children to the bodies in the pickle barrel. I don't know. Nobody really tells this story in great detail.
We still don't know.
We don't know. So again, it's like the icon, right? Three bags. And
can you like see their faces through the bag a little bit?
Either the money that was the dowry for the daughters or three severed heads of children who he then went and resuscitated. So he actually brought them back from the dead, out of the pickle barrel and back to life.
Oh my God. So, like some like 300s like drunk author was like, let's see, how can we get these pickle kids some heads? Oh wait, St. Nicholas.
It's
what?
It's the well-known legend of St. Nicholas and the three pickle children, right?
Oh my God.
So you got three back. So just for the record, if
this
you ever go to a church.
This is not well-known enough.
Because St. Nicholas is a beloved figure, particularly in the Eastern traditions, right? You go to Russia, there's a lot of St. Nicholas going on.
Well.
If you ever see him with three bags, keep in mind, it's the dowry of the three baker's daughters, not the three severed heads of
the
pickle barrel children.
Or maybe it's both. You know, that money might have been
like
a little...
Sounds like a boxcar children mystery. Like, boxcar children and three pickled babies.
Did the innkeeper perhaps give money to St. Nicholas to, like, take these heads?
It didn't really explain it when I was doing my research. I didn't want to dig that deeply into the pickle barrel because I didn't know what else would be at the bottom.
In these stories.
Yeah. So, but St. Nicholas does develop a following and a reputation for saving, like, sets of three. So there's these other stories
but
where,
but not
like,
the three kids, just the...
No, he brought them back. He brought them back from the dead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
No, so he takes the
heads. That's
pretty good. Goes to the pickle barrel.
Oh.
And sets them, sets everything right again. Yeah, brings them back.
Christmas miracle.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, there's other stories of, like...
All threes.
Three guardsmen that were sentenced to death, and... St. Nicholas goes to Constantine in a dream and says, like, you better start setting right these guys that are going to be sentenced to death. So tomorrow, get out your pardon stick. And then, like, the three guardsmen are before Constantine. They say, oh, St. Nicholas, save us. And he was like, oh, St. Nicholas, you guys saw St. Nicholas too. So he, like, saves them, right? Yeah, so there's the cue.
You know, things were very fickle with Constantine. It could really go either way.
Could go either way.
Yeah.
Totally.
All right.
So there's, like, these sets of three. Now, my favorite set of three of things that St. Nicholas saved comes from the Council of Nicaea. So St. Nicholas, according to legend, was present at the Council of Nicaea and was at one point so bored by the proceedings that he fell asleep. And in his sleep, he had a dream, a vision, a bilocation, or whatever it is.
Some saintly miracle.
Where there were three sailors in a ship that was sinking. So the ship is sinking, and he appears, and he saves them somehow, like, rights the ship and sends them back to shore. He is just always called
to save threes.
And that's he all. Wakes up, and yeah. everybody's kind of making fun of him, like, oh, St. Nicholas, what amazing things have happened since you fell asleep. Well, they didn't call him St.
Nicholas. Yeah, I was going to say, like, Bishnick.
Yeah,
but,
okay. yeah, Bishnick. And he goes, yeah, no, amazing things have happened. There was a ship that was sinking, and it is saved, and all the sailors are now back aboard yeah. and ready to go.
Like, I was a little busy.
And apparently, they all thought that he was speaking in metaphors of, like, the church.
The church
was the sinking ship. Oh, Nicholas, you and your wisdom. Yeah. What amazing. You know, like, you were there the whole time. But actually, he had gone somewhere else.
Okay, guys, whatever.
But by far, my favorite legend of St. Nicholas is at that same Council of Nicaea.
Yes.
When they are debating what is now known as the Arian heresy.
Right.
That Jesus was not actually both 100% divine. Fully divine, and because if we talk in percents, it gets weird quickly,
yeah, yeah.
but fully divine and fully human, but Arius, the heretic, was saying that Jesus was not divine, was only a human who was created by God
maybe at the end yeah. or something like
that. And so Arius is on the floor pronouncing his proclamations and saying, this is the way things are, arguing his point. And Nicholas just gets so fed up with it that he walks across the floor, walks up to him, and just slaps him in the face.
Bench slaps, like, Arius.
And the image of Nicholas walking across the floor at the Council of Nicaea and just, like slapping Arius in the face.
You woke me up from yeah. my nap.
Right.
Now I have to come slap the heresy out of your face.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so that is a lot of fun for me. But apparently it was not a lot of fun for everybody else that was there.
Yeah, but it's represented in art, too. Like,
right.
if you see totally. Something where, like, an old yeah. guy is slapping another dude, that's yeah. St. Nick.
St. Nicholas with three decapitated heads just slapping.
They're over his shoulder.
Yeah, right. And so the rest of the bishops there were like, that was not very bishoply of you, Nicholas. And so they actually put him in jail. Like, they throw him in jail.
Again. Right.
And overnight, Mary and Jesus show up. And say, really, Nicholas, again, we find
here
you in prison.
Here we are.
Yeah. And they say, why are you in prison now? And instead of saying, well, I bitch slapped the heresy out of Arius's face, he says, for love of you, Mary
oh,
and
God.
Jesus, for love of you.
St. Nicholas That's is kind here. Of a kiss ass.
I know, right? Yeah. So they release him from his chains and they give him back his bishop's garments. And in the morning, the guards show
Mary
up.
Mary and Jesus do.
Mary and Jesus, yeah, yes. Yeah. So the guards show up and they see him dressed as a bishop and with no chains on. And they go, we should probably let him
Yeah,
out
we're not
going to
touch
point.
This anymore.
Yeah. So they open up the doors and he walks free again. So St. Nick, jailed.
Can't be in prison.
Twice.
Yep.
And slapping heretics.
And, like, his naps are, like, all-powerful and
yeah,
save-y.
Taking naps and saving sailors and returning decapitated heads
in threes.
To the pickle barrel where they belong.
Yeah.
St. Nicholas.
No.
Visiting your house this December the 24th.
Not creepy at all.
Or putting candy in your shoe this December the 6th.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Your stinky shoe, your rotting children, your ugly-ass daughters, yeah. whatever you've got, St.
So
Nicholas can help you
There's
with
my
it.
Case for best saint ever. Saint
he is
Nicholas.
Pretty awesome, and I'm glad that we all celebrate him. It's yeah. such a cultural thing. Santa yeah. Claus.
He's a good one.
I think we need to. I had never heard the three pickled children story. Like, that yeah. actually was a sincere surprise.
It's
I did
up,
hear
right?
the bitch slapping
up.
Before.
Yeah.
And I just think we need to publicize this.
Yeah.
Like, people need to know.
Absolutely. So all spread right. the word. St. Nicholas, yeah. patron saint of all bitch slappers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And things in threes.
Right. Things
all
in
right.
threes. So that wraps us up for Advent, actually.
Advent was a week short, and
yeah.
time and space just.
Yeah.
To tomorrow,
so,
Sunday.
We hope you enjoy Joy
yeah.
Week. We hope you enjoy your 8 hours of Love Week.
Go to Mass twice.
Yeah.
Get thee to church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go hang out in a church for a while.
Yeah, count it whatever you want.
Eat, and have
eat one big nacho,
one
cracker,
big exactly.
whatever you want to call it.
And enjoy your Christmas celebration,
yeah.
be it with friends and family or on your own in a bottle of Jack
However
Daniels.
However you do. Let
whatever
us know what's your favorite Advent Christmas tide tradition.
Absolutely.
We're entering that Christmas season.
Yeah.
What will the three kings bring you?
Who knows?
On January 6th, nobody knows.
That may be our next one. We may
yeah.
be talking about the Feast of Three Kings.
Maybe we'll see you
for
then.
For our
yeah.
next church trunk. So Advent is over. Next time you hear us, it will be Christmas season.
Yeah.
And we'll be talking about that.
You can email us at churchdrunk@gmail.com. You can tweet at guests at churchdrunkpod on Twitter.
Absolutely.
And tell us any of these things.
If you have a favorite December saint.
Send us a picture of your St. Lucie cocktail. I want to see those little eyes balanced on top.
Absolutely. So thanks for listening, and we will see you next week. We will be back next week for Church Drunk, where sometimes we put the heresy in your mouth or in your ear, and St. Nick just bitch slaps it right up out of there. Just
bitch slaps it out of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, ouch.
Ouch. Church Drunk. See you later.
Bye.